good seeing everyone out this evening, that all are doing well as we go through the rest of this day. It's always good to come study God's Word. Appreciate that. Encourage that you open up your Bibles as we go through our lesson this evening. This evening's lessons come from Revelation chapter 10, and verse 9 through 11. Revelation chapter 10, and bring out the point of bitter and sweet. As John is, of course, seeing all these things being revealed unto him, having the veil pulled back and him seeing what he had saw, he is told to go up to an angel who has a scroll, and he's told to go forth and eat of it. So here in Revelation 10, starting in verse 9, it says, "So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but it will be sweet as honey in your mouth. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. When I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings." So come go forth and bring out a point about the Word of God being bitter and also being sweet. As we take time to look at that, what was being bitter? What was the bitterness? What was the sweetness? In these verses here in Revelation 10, it's bringing out the point that it is a book, right? He says, "Then I took the book out of the angel's hand and ate it." He's taking the book that has the words. And as he brings out that it is bitter and sweet, the next part there in verse 11, he says, "Again, you must prophesy again in many about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings." And so here a book has been given to him that he's to take and eat. And then he goes forth and prophesies to many others about many others. The Word of God, as it brings out here, is to be bitter and sweet. It's important to take that mindset, even as we look how it applied here in the book of Revelation, or just in the mindset in the Word of God of itself, and that it goes to us also today, as we search the rest of the Scriptures, that it is bitter and sweet. It's something that we have to study, right? We turn to Romans 10 and verse 17 that tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, that the Word of God is something we must study. It's something we have to open up in order to know right from wrong. Again, there in Romans chapter 10, you go up a few verses as back in verses 8 and 9, it starts to talk about how we are saved with the confession of our mouth. But you get down to verse 13, it brings out the point, you know, it says, "How can one be saved? How can one believe who has not heard? And how can one hear without a preacher?" And so the Word of God, how can one confess without believing? How can one believe without hearing? And how can one hear without a preacher? And so the point is that we have to have the Word of God. Even get to our confession of our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we need to study the Scriptures. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, there's been many times throughout the Scriptures that the Word of God is compared to something in which we eat. And so Matthew 4 and verse 4, "But in your Jesus overcoming the temptation that Satan is putting at him," he says, "He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." As the Lord had, of course, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he's not worried about the physical food. He brings up, we need to make sure we have our daily bread of the Word of God. "And man is not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds." In Jeremiah chapter 15, and looking there and in verse 16. Jeremiah 15, and looking at verse 16. It reads here, it says, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Your words I found and I ate." Again, the Word of God being compared to something in which we eat. In Matthew chapter 5, it tells us there, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." That we seek out that which is right. We seek out the law of the Lord. We seek out His commands that He has blessed us with. And why would we not?
Again, as we live our lives here on earth and we think about our physical bodies and what it needs, daily nutrition, that it has to have water, that every so long we have to have certain foods to keep ourselves healthy, to keep the energy to move forward. Well, the Word of God has that for us. In 2 Timothy 3 and verses 16 and 17, where it tells us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Well, it's saying that it has everything so that you can be full, right? That it has all the nutrition value that you could ask for here in the Word of God. For our spiritual soul, for our spiritual hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so we have to be willing to open it up, but we need to understand that it's bitter and sweet. So often we want to focus on the sweets, right? Eat the things that are more enjoyable. We want to enjoy our snacks and enjoy the things that we like. But sometimes, well, when you're an adult, you may force yourself, but oftentimes we force our children to eat the things they need to eat. And I don't force it on myself too much. But there are things that we need to eat. It may not be the most tastiest thing compared to others, but it is sometimes bitter. Sometimes it's not the best tasting as it goes down. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, and looking at verse 105. And again, here, just bringing out that the Word of God here is a light. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path," which is leading me to my next verse, helping us bring out the point of bitterness. In John chapter 3 and verse 20, in John chapter 3 and verse 20, you turn along with me there. And as the Word of God is compared to that light, right? The Word of God is something that is shining forth. Well, in here in John 3 and verse 20, as it's been going forth here in the book of John, talking about our Lord being a light, and the Word being a light, it says, "For everyone who practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Right? And so those who are caught up in evil, those who are caught up in evil deeds, those who are caught up in sin, those who are caught up in doing wrong, caught up in a lie, caught up in sexual morality, caught up in lusting, it brings out that the light shines onto that. And they all can see the wrong that they are doing. And then their deeds are exposed. Again, that would not be a good, soothing taste, right? If we're mindset of this being food, the Word of God shining forth, the things in which you have done wrong, those things which you need to change. Again, something we're supposed to be doing as we live our lives here on earth, as we walk with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we have those who may be teaching false teachings. Ephesians 5 and verse 11 says, Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Again, don't have any fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Do not have fellowship with sin. Rather exposed. Again, we can think of mindsets when times in which we've had people point out when we've done wrong. It's not always the greatest feeling to be told you are doing something wrong. The greatest feeling to be told that you need to change something, or how hard sometimes it is to approach others, to expose that they're caught up in the works of the flesh. Here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Galatians chapter 5, I'm looking there in verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." And so as we look at this, we bring out the point that it says, these will not inherit the kingdom of God. That if we see someone who's walking in these things, They're caught up in adultery. They're caught up in uncleanness. They're caught up in hating. They're caught up being jealous, selfish, envying, drunk. And we say, hey, you know, if you continue to practice that, then you cannot call yourself a Christian. You continue to practice that, then you will not be part of God's kingdom. You think that is something people look forward to hearing? And why, when he is told to take the book and that he's going to have to go prophesy about peoples and nations and kings, that he says it's going to be bitter. It's bitter because you have to go forth and do this hard work and tell people that they are in wrong, that they are in sin, that they are not lined up with the chief cornerstone, that they're not following the commands of God. Again, when it comes to church discipline, there in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15 through 12, that if a brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. No, it's not the easiest thing to do. It's not always a comfortable thing to do. It's not something that brethren always are so welcoming to receive. And again, often I know we say that. We say, if you see me wrong, please come and point it out. And I believe we're sincere when we say that, that we do want to make sure that we get to heaven. But when someone points it out at that time and moment, when it just all of a sudden comes at you, you have a natural reaction to try to defend yourself. It's bitter. Like, I don't like that taste in my mouth. If they hear you, though, if we listen to it, and we see that it lines up with the Word of God, and we repent, says you gain your brother back. And then if they don't listen to you, you see how much bitterer it gets. It gets worse. It starts to grow because now you bring two or three witnesses with them. Now they're going to get upset. Oh, you told other people. Then you bring them before the church if they don't hear them. It's bitter. Revelation 21, verse 8, of course, the worst part of it is, of course, pointing out that those who do not repent of such things will be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21 and in verse 8. As it reads here, it says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We can see where in the scriptures it can be bitter. It can be that point that it's not always the good news that is being brought forth. And we have to be willing to take that with the Word of God. It says it's bitter and sweet, so we can look at the point that it is sweet also. Turn along with me back to Psalm 119, if you will. Psalm 119, and look at it with me in verse 103. Psalm 119, and looking at verse 103. It says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Again, the mindset of what the words of God can do for you, that it is sweet like honey. Even the mindset after we just get done talking about how it can be bitter, and we talk about discipline, we talk about rebuking others and correcting one another and teaching the truth, well, eventually, hopefully, it leads to what should be good, leads to repentance, leads to our salvation. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11, Hebrews 12, and looking there in verse 11, it says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless afterward. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. That as we continue to study the Word of God, how it leads to the fruit of righteousness. That as we have godly sorrow, it leads to repentance. That we turn from the bitter things, we turn from those things which are sin, and get caught up again, going to the words of Solomon, that at the conclusion of all things, to fear God and keep His commandments. But then as we recently studied 1 John, how love casts out fear, that as we learn of the love of God, we see that He sacrificed His Son. We see this beautiful love that God has for us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God demonstrating His love that He sent His Son down to die for you and me. That love casts out that fear because now we're giving ourselves over to God. We're trusting in His grace. We believe in His Son. what a wonderful thing when we start to go down this path that we see how much God loves us. We see how patient He is as we, you know, many are waiting for that day in which the Lord will come. And people who are mocking that point, though, mocking that day, 2 Peter 3 and in verse 9, he had a correction. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but as some kind of slackness, He is long-suffering. He is patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Because He desires everybody to be saved. He desires all to come to repentance. He desires all to be saved. That's why He sent His Son down to die for the world. You got to quote John 3, verse 16. We see how wonderful the Word of God is also. That it brings out God's love. It brings out that opportunity for our salvation as we looked at Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38. As Peter preached unto them, again, it kind of goes down the bitter side of it as you look at Peter's preaching to them, because he gets to the point, he says, you guys crucified the Son of God. You guys crucified the one we've been looking for the entire time. But then it says they were cut to the heart. And they asked, what must we do? What needs to be done? And so we get the answer there in verse 38. And Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, we go from that point of you killed the Savior, you crucified Christ, to you can have forgiveness of sins. To you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the salvation that God is laying at your foot. That we can have hope of a home in heaven. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Looking there at verses 2 and 3, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That the Word of God has these wonderful things in it. That we can go forth and look at the fruits of the Spirit. We see how we need to be growing in love and kindness. Being hospitable and seeing that we have love for one another. Again, we can read about how beautiful heaven must be, right? That's how the song, how beautiful heaven must be, because we really don't know exactly if Revelation 21, 22 are just the best that John can explain what he saw, or if it's a pretty close picture of what it might be like. Either way, how wonderful and how beautiful heaven is going to be. How the Word of God has these wonderful things in there in which we can go forth and read about how beautiful and how sweet it is to study the Word of God. That's why we should hunger and thirst after it. Right? That's why we should continue to want to open it up and search it daily to make sure that we are walking in the path of Christ. To make sure that we don't have to receive those rebukes, those bitterness things, but we know right and wrong, that we can help others out of that wrong and keep ourselves from falling into it, but also knowing the good side of it, the happy side of it, the joy that we should have as we walk our lives with the Lord. You think about the eunuch as he obeyed the gospel, he went on his way rejoicing. So we want to extend the Lord's invitation this evening to any who need to obey the gospel, to any who need to be baptized, to wash their sins away. If you're here and you need to do that, we're happy to assist you. If we can assist you in anything else, let me know. Stand.